Yes. Yes, yes. Father, I am grateful. I bless your name. I'm grateful that you hear my voice. I'm grateful that you love me. I'm grateful that you have blessed me with family and friends and this church and the freedom to gather and to learn more about you. Lord, we exalt your name. We hallow your name. We revere your name, and we pray that it will be hallowed to the ends of the earth. I know that there are some of us trying to figure this out now. Lord, speak to them. Speak to all of us. Holy Spirit, land in our rooms. Work through us now. Help us to be guided and nudged and challenged and inspired and encouraged and comforted by you and your presence. We ask all of this now in the name of Jesus, my Savior, our King. Amen. All right. Why don't you guys have a seat? Why don't you guys take off and come back later? The question is this: how much has to happen for you to say thank you? Like, what's it take for you to say thank you? What's it take for you to say out loud, to acknowledge, to admit that you are, well, blessed? You see, I think it's a hallmark feature of being a Christian. And I just prayed a second ago, acknowledging, and I know some of you aren't there yet. I know some of you are trying to figure out what this means to follow Jesus. I know that some of you grew up hearing that it was more about ritual and religious behavior, and now we're talking about grace and all these other things, and you're trying to kind of put it together. Some of you are even like, you're not even there yet. You're still wondering, is there a God? What is all of this? I want you to know you're in a good place. You're in the right place, I think. I think you're in a safe place where you can begin to figure out these truths and how they apply to you. I just want you to know, whether you're here, whether you're joining us online, you're at one of the sites at Grants Trail, at Fenton, Mid Rivers, I just want you to know what a relief settles in on you when you realize you can rest in Him. Like, Jesus is enough. The cross is enough. You don't have to wonder anymore if you've done enough, or if you're good enough, or if you've measured up enough to enjoy this life with God that stretches into eternity. When you begin to understand the gift of grace, it just rests on you, and you realize you are blessed. So there's a fellow by the name of Paul. He's a first century missionary. He has a really radical conversion story that many of us are familiar with. He ends up crisscrossing the Roman Empire to plant churches because he's going to tell the world how much Jesus matters and this good news that is for all of humanity. And as he's doing this, there are times and occasions when he reaches back to some of these churches that he's planted. And some of those letters, some of that communication is so inspired, it's so God-soaked, that early on people began to realize, no, these are different. And they found their way, these letters, into our New Testament. Now, we're going to bump into a few of them this week, like right now. But I want you to know that Paul realizes from the get-go that he's blessed. One of these letters is to a church that's in a place called Ephesus. It's on the west coast of Turkey. And Paul, like, just says outright at the beginning of this letter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Now, if you keep reading, you will see that he can't stop himself. Like, there are, in the English translations, there are periods. But in the Greek, not so much. It is a run-on sentence. Your English teacher from high school would have a heyday marking this sentence up because it just doesn't stop. In fact, there are some scholars who say this might be one of the longest sentences in ancient literature that was written in Greek. Paul can't help himself. He just keeps sharing how he is blessed through Jesus. This is a sign of spiritual health. It's a sign of life. I mean, what's the alternative? Like, what's the alternative to a grateful heart? Well, obviously an ungrateful heart, but what does that look like? It's somebody who's chronically discontent. It's maybe complaining, maybe a little judgy. Like, you ever noticed sometimes we get really good at the clever put down. And when I say the clever put down, it's not a direct put down. It's just a little side jab. Like you're in a meeting, you're in a group, you're with the family, you're with friends, and somebody's really celebrating something going on. And whoo, I mean, everybody's excited for them. And you just put a little, well, why? Well, I've been in that territory. Have you? Why? Because we're jealous. Because we're afraid they're getting out ahead of us. And because we don't want them to get like too excited about, you know, this thing. And it's like, yeah. It's just not a good way to live, guys. We lose a sense of awe when it comes to who God is and what he's doing in our lives and the purpose he has for our lives. And we lose the sense of awe with the friends that we have. There's a better way to live. And the good news is that, like, it gets proven time and time again. Like, I could even quote to you scientific studies that have shown that people who practice gratitude, people who are quite literally, they are practicing gratitude, like they're doing it on a regular basis, they have lower levels of stress, they sleep better, they report being more connected to their friends. They have a better sense of kind of purpose and where they're heading in life. They're more likely to do healthy things. I mean, it's a good thing to be grateful. No wonder the Bible says again and again, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. It's as if, I mean, this shouldn't shock us, right? It's good for us. And the one who created us knew that God does know how things work, okay? And he's saying, y'all gotta be, like, you should figure this out, but let's go on ahead and admit this. Me just telling you, hey, you gotta be thankful, isn't really gonna help much, is it? Like if that were the message today of, you just gotta be grateful, people. Just grin and bear it, be grateful. Let's stand for closing prayer. Good luck Thursday. That doesn't help, does it? No, I mean, you can't flip a switch and go from being like Major Von Grumpy to Captain Gratitude reporting for duty, sir. It doesn't work that way. But here's the good news. You can get better at it. No, you really can. I want to go back to another letter. This is same guy, Paul. He's writing to a church that he's been with through thick and through thin. And right now he is in it, man. I mean, he is chained to a Roman guard. Like he's awaiting trial, which could sentence him to an execution. And these famous words, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And Paul says, I've learned how to be content. Couple of things here. That word content is a really powerful word. It doesn't mean he's given up. Sometimes some of us are like, yeah, you know, you can't be content because then, you know, life passes you by and your competitors win. That's not what the word means here. When you see this word, I've learned to be content, it isn't Paul saying, you know what? I've learned to just kind of give up. Like, I don't have any passion. I've just learned to not expect much joy in my life. I'm not really going to accomplish much. I'm okay with cold oatmeal. It's okay. That's not what it means. That's not the biblical word for content. The word there is a powerful word. It's someone who has agency. It's someone who has control of their life. It's someone who is consciously choosing and saying, you know, I'm going down this path. I am choosing to live a more grateful life. I'm going to cultivate this gratitude in my life. I'm going to cultivate this sense of contentment in my life. I have learned, Paul says, when I had a lot and when I had a little. And either way, it is liberating. It is freeing for me. You see, when you get down this path, you begin to realize that life is a gift and the people around you are gifts, and you begin to trust God more. You see, there are a variety of authors that I'm going to kind of tap into today. And this is one of them. I love this quote from Brennan Manning. He says, the person with an abiding spirit of gratitude is the one who trusts God. So you get to a place where you learn, no, God can be trusted through thick and thin, high, low. God can be trusted. And I will tell you, if you can learn how to be content, you're just a half step away from being grateful. I mean, they're connected, aren't they? So we learn what this is like. And here you go, a little more science for you. Like, your brain responds to this. Like, your brain literally responds to this. There's a neuroscientist out at UCLA, another guy that I was just kind of trying to learn from through all of this, and he says when it comes to gratitude, when you practice it regularly, when you figure out what that is, some people keep gratitude journals, some people just make sure that every time they are praying, they are noticing things. There are ways that you can begin to practice gratitude, but he says when you do this, the neurons in a very strategic part of your brain, okay? So this is the lateral dorsal striatum, okay? You know it's a part of the basal ganglia. I know you know where we are. But this very strategic part of the brain, this is where, by the way, we think habits are formed. It's crazy how much we're learning about brain function. This is where habits kind of get formed. He says in if you do this, the neurons in that area begin to kind of, they begin to thicken and to kind of like come together and to work together. He said, really, they become more efficient. So that if you will practice gratitude, get this. He says, you get to a place where it simply takes less effort to be grateful. Your brain will work along with you. And that means you and I can learn how to be more grateful. We can start habits like today that could begin to take us through the through Thanksgiving and then into the Christmas season and then into 2025. Like, we could start that today. Some of you are going to gather around tables on Thursday. Now, again, it may not be as big as this table, okay, unless you live at Hogwarts. But if you are gathering around a table, I don't want us to just see this as a thing that we do like before we eat on Thursday. God, may this please become a habit for us in the coming days. Amen? So here's the thing. I've kind of combed through a whole bunch of stuff. Some experts in science, authors. I went back to a message. I remember a guy said some things 25 years ago that it was like, oh yeah, no, that helped. All of these things from a pastor, John Ortberg, from authors like Manning and Henry Nouwen, to my friend Scott Sauls, to all of these people, I've kind of pulled all of this together, and if it doesn't make sense, blame me, don't blame them, okay? But here it is. We're going to go through four things, and this is one of those messages that's kind of bullet point. Like, you know, I know some of you love that, and you're like, oh, well, this is your day. Here you go. Give thanks, right? So here it is. Here's the first thing. We can do this. Be grateful for imperfect gifts. That's the first thing to write down. Be grateful for imperfect gifts. How many of you, each of our sides, how many of you are sitting next to someone you know? Just raise your hand. Come on, raise it high. You are sitting next to an imperfect gift. Wait a second. They are too. You see, Ecclesiastes is a book in the Old Testament, a book of wisdom, and it says, it is better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting more. Now again, this doesn't mean that you just give up. This isn't for those of you who are saying, I don't want to lose my edge out there. This isn't that. Think of it this way. If you learn how to be grateful, like right now with the imperfections of these gifts, then you can give thanks now. You don't have to wait. See, if you wait until your finances are perfectly in order, like if you wait until all of the debt is retired, if you wait until everything lines up in your like relational world, until you're dating, if you wait until your spouse just really is perfect, if you're waiting until the headlines line up and the world is doing exactly what you think it should, if you're waiting until like your GPA or your BMI, you pick, is perfect, I think you're gonna be waiting a while. If you're waiting to give thanks until all of this lines up, you're gonna, parents out there, can I just say this to you? If you're waiting until your kids get along perfectly and clean their rooms perfectly before you give thanks, you're gonna be waiting a while. If you're waiting until everybody in your family behaves this Thanksgiving, some of you are gonna sit around a table on Thursday and go, there is no way I share DNA with these people. But if you're gonna wait until everybody gets along perfectly before you give thanks, you're waiting for a while. My point is God gives us imperfect gifts. I'm not saying that we don't keep trying, we don't keep moving, we don't keep addressing things. I'm saying along the way in this imperfect, not yet healed world, God is saying, look at what I've given you, and get this, he wants us to enjoy those gifts. But we seem to have forgotten how. And I'll give you one reason why. The world is sending a different message to you. The world is trying to create and to stir up a discontent in you. And we talk about this when it comes to Advent conspiracy and when it comes to this urge to overspend and put ourselves in debt, and we have to push against that. But I'm telling you, there are messages all around you that are intended to stir up discontent. Remember last week, Tim gave us in the middle of a message that really it was an awesome message that we all needed to hear. In the middle of that message, he said, beware of quotes on the internet. Do you remember that? And then he showed a picture of Abraham Lincoln and we all kind of laughed. I laughed out loud because everybody attributes things to famous people because they think it makes it sound better. This next quote is an example of that. It's a great quote, and everybody from podcasters to influencers to professors to authors to consultants, they all attribute this to Teddy Roosevelt because it just sounds cooler. But I did the deep dive on this. There is absolutely no indication that Teddy Roosevelt ever said this. Doesn't mean it isn't true, though. Here's the quote. Comparison is the thief of joy. You think about that for a second. You're clicking along pretty good. Oh, I like what's going on in my life. This is God, thank you very much. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, look at what they've got. Look at what he's doing. And before you know it, joy just kind of leaves, right? Listen to me. For some of us, it's like this. We get on one of these and we start to look at an over-filtered, hyper-engineered, not even real, way too perfect life or story that we come across. And we look at this and then we compare it with our very unfiltered, very real, not very engineered, a little bit of a mess life and go, oh man. Like something was going on in your life that was actually good news and you missed it. Like, because of this, I'm not saying our phones are wrong. I'm not saying that this is bad. I'm just saying we've got to be savvy when people are trying to create discontent in you. Like, pay attention. My friend Scott Sauls puts it the other way. He kind of flips it and he says, you know, like envy, like nobody admits that they are envious of somebody else. It's too embarrassing. But we all get sucked into it. It's envy, right? It's just like, oh, man. You know what Scott says is the antidote to envy? He says giving thanks. Here's the way he says it. Thanksgiving is the envy killer. If you ever find that you're kind of getting churned up on something and going, how come I don't? Practice gratitude and watch it begin to dismantle the envy. Which leads us to the next point. You got to pay attention to the gifts that are right in front of you. But God has plopped these things right in front of us and we miss them. Like there are times that we're so busy or we're obsessed with something, maybe we're addicted to something, maybe it's all about work, it's all about that next thing that's happening at school, it's all about that big project, it's all about, we could be addicted to gossip, to TV, to politics, to sports, to movies, to any number of things, and before you know it, we're not really paying attention to the gifts that are right in front of us. God just keeps giving us these gifts and it's like, no, we're just moving past them. There's in Salzburg, Austria, a few years ago, there was a whole public safety initiative that happened because people were being injured by cars and by cyclists and by mopeds. And the reason they were being injured was because they were so obsessed with their phones that they kept stepping out into traffic. What this sign, so these are like padded things that are around the lampposts, I guess so that if you bump into a lamppost, you're protected, I don't know. But on the sign, it says, is the next car that you step in front of as well padded as this? because people were getting hurt. And what they're really saying is, hey, can you just look up and pay attention? Because sometimes we're not noticing what is in front of us. My point to you and I is that you and I should notice what's in front of us. I'm not against these. I use it all the time. I'm just saying, let's look up and look around and see that God has blessed us. Do you have any idea what the gift of life is? Look, when you woke up today and you took air into your lungs, do you understand the miracle involved? The psalmist puts it like this, a really famous verse, but it's, I will praise you. Why? Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God, you did all of this for me. I mean, marvelous are your works. I mean, when I begin to consider this, that my soul knows, and my soul knows this very well. You're like a miracle. And sometimes we have to just stop and go, God, you did this. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody who's walked with you through really tough stuff. Maybe it's a blessing that is just happening right before your eyes, but it's happening at work and everything's coming together. You've been working really hard and it's like, wow, it's all landing. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you got a good report back from the doctor. Maybe it turns out the test was negative. Maybe God's put someone in your life and y'all are falling in love. Like right now, it's happening real time. Are you thanking God for these beautiful gifts that are in front of you? You see, sometimes it can be really small things, but it's like somebody just did something, or and you're just always there, and you're just so dependable, and I walk right past it. Why? Well, because I'm busy. Because I got stuff I got to do. Because, man, I got a whole agenda of really important things, and you know, I'll thank you, and I'll thank God. When? Later. I'll get to it later. You know what? Everything slows down, settles down. I'll come back and I'll thank you and I'll thank God, except we never do, right? See, what I'm asking us to do now is to stop and to slow down. Some of us are so convinced that we're hard charging and that we're getting stuff done and that we got to keep moving fast, when in reality, part of what God is saying is, will you just stop for a minute and notice what I've given you? Just for a minute. So let's do it, shall we? I want you to hang out with some people around you. Hopefully by now we've stirred this one up a little bit. What are some of the ways that God has blessed you? Now here's what we're gonna do. If you're at Chesterfield, you're gonna use the app to let us know. Pastors, come on up. We've got some scribes here that are gonna help us with this. Chesterfield, you're gonna get your answers to this person on the app. Sites, you have pastors that are walking around the rooms right now. So you're going to talk to each other and you're going to let your pastor know, because they're going to use the technology that we're not afraid of, and they're going to text these people up here. So how has God blessed you? And we're going to track it from each site. So y'all go ahead, talk to each other. All right, this is where it gets fun. This is where it's gonna get fun these last few minutes. All right, so here's the thing. I hope that you guys are actually taking this seriously and letting it stir up a little bit, because we're not just gonna give lip service to something that is good for our souls. I don't know what it was for you. Maybe it was a miracle of healing. Maybe it is something that's going on at work. Maybe it is something that's happening. Like, Do you remember the last time you held that little human that was made in the image of God Almighty? Do you remember when you fell in love? Do you remember when you first met that person? Do you remember when they showed up and nobody else did? Those are moments that we remember, and we know that God has blessed us. But I'm going to tell you what, when you take the time to notice that, it will lead you to the next thing, and here it is. You open your heart to worship. Giving thanks is always going to lead to worship in the scriptures. Always, always, always it leads to worship. Now we're in the Old Testament, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. In the Hebrew tradition, you wouldn't start a prayer without blessing God. You would begin by thanking God and by blessing Him. This is what you do. In fact, even to this day, Orthodox Jewish people will have hundreds of, like they'll have so many different blessings that are available to them. And what you did was you would start by blessing God and the name of God. Now you've heard some of this before recently. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord God, Melech Aholam, King of the universe. And then you would thank God for something specific that just happened. Oftentimes it's something like really small. It's just something that you're just grateful for. You thank God, you bless Him, you thank Him because you woke up. You thank God because you opened your eyes and you could see. You thank God. True. There, in the Hebrew tradition, there is a blessing for when you wake up and you use the facilities and the plumbing works. I mean, your plumbing, not the house's plumbing. There's a blessing for that. When was the last time you praised and blessed God because your body is still kind of on a good day, mostly working? How come when we can walk, when we can see, when we can hear, you blessed God? So many different little thanksgivings. You blessed God for the taste of baked bread. You bless God after a meal. You bless God when you smell fresh fruit. Now, we're about out of that season, but when you smell fresh strawberries in season, ooh, when you smell a freshly cut lime or a lemon, you bless God. When you saw a rainbow, you bless God. When you see majestic tall mountains, you bless God. When you hear thunder, you bless God. When you see lightning crackle across the sky, you blessed God. When good news comes your way, you bless God. When bad news comes your way, you bless God. Well, what does that sound like? God, I am so grateful that you are still God, that you're going to sustain me through this, because I need all of you now. How does David put it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That song that we sang just a minute ago, that I just love that song these days, that because it's us talking to, it's like we're given our soul instruction. It's just like David. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Remember that one? I mean, the room's just filled with that song. That's what David is saying here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Don't forget His benefits. So we're counting the blessings. But all that is within me, if I'm going to tell you the truth, sometimes all that's within me is it gets messy in there. Bless the Lord, all that is within me. Whew. You see, some of us have gotten out of rhythm with this thing. Some of us have given into kind of a cynical sort of a edge. Some of us, like, we can't imagine thanking God these days. And if I start talking about Christmas, you can't even think of Christmas. You're not sure how you're going to make it through Thanksgiving. Because the storm hit, right? I know what that's like when you get to Thanksgiving and you're like, I don't think I got anything to... How am I thanking God? November 23rd, 2017. It's been 7 years. November 23rd is kind of a big day in my family because it reminds me of when God blessed the world and blessed me with the love of my life. I've always loved November 23rd, but on November 23rd, 7 years ago, I stood by his bed and watched my dad enter into eternity. And I remember that Thanksgiving, looking at everybody and going, man, this is just going to be different. How do you give thanks? All that is within me now? How do you do that? Well, let me tell you, you're not giving thanks for the storm. You're not giving thanks for that loss that just knocked your legs out from under you. You're giving thanks for the God who is faithful. You're giving thanks for the God who says, I've got you, I'm with you, and I'll even see you through this. That's what we give thanks for in that moment. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do now. It's a little bit of a risk, but would you all just bow your heads? Each of our rooms, just bow your heads. Pastors, would you come out here so that people can see you? And the thing is, the rooms are private now. If you're going through a season right now and you're saying, yeah, that's me. I'm in the middle of the storm and everybody around me is celebrating the most wonderful time of the year. We want to pray for you. Would you make eye contact with us? Or maybe even just raise your hand so that we can see you at each of our sites. Pastors, would you just stand at the sites and just turn around and start praying for your folks? Yep, I see y'all. Y'all praying for these people. You know, there's even a blessing for the God who bears our burdens. It's lifted straight from Psalm 68. Baruch Adonai Yom Yom Ya'amos Lanu Ha'el Yeshuatenu. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our Savior. There's some translations that say, blessed be the God who daily carries us in his arms. Father, we're asking now that you do just that you would carry people, that you'd pick up the load. Lord, we don't want them to go through this alone. I pray that you'll give us wisdom to know how to come alongside, and Lord, give them the courage and the wherewithal to say, hey, I don't want to do this alone. Father, right now, we're asking for you to carry the burden. And we bless you. I bless you because I have been there and I know that you come through and I know that I know that I know that you are faithful. So God, here in this moment, even now, we're grateful. We're grateful that you are who you are and we need you to come through big time for these folks. Amen. Do y'all have any idea how loved you are? I don't know if you were here a couple of weeks ago or not, but I explained that phrase that traces back to scripture, the apple of your eye. Anybody remember that? It's like, it's a phrase where like if you cherish them, you're the apple of my eye. I'm the apple of her eye. It's that kind of a thing, right? You say that about your kids, you're the apple of my eye. We don't say it very much, but it goes back to scripture, except in the scripture, the Hebrew idiom is different. The idiom there, really what it means if you translate it is, the little man or woman that is in the reflection, like of the pupil of an eye. So the whole point here is you get so close to someone, so close to them, and they are watching over you so carefully that you can actually see your reflection in their eye. You're the apple of their eye. Now, that's a really cool thing, and we should celebrate that people love us and cherish us that way. But I need y'all to know this. You are the apple of God's eye. That may be too squishy for some of you, but I'm telling you, you are the beloved. You are that loved by the God of the universe, and he is watching over you. David said at one point when he was going through it, he said, God, please, may I be the apple of your eye. And God came through. You see, if we can begin to understand that, then we worship and we worship differently. And I don't want you to leave here without knowing that. You are the beloved, which leads us to the last thing. We're going to just express gratitude openly, boldly, right now here at the Ed. So hang on. Here we go. From the sites, from Chesterfield, I just want to see. Now, just so everybody knows, it's Chesterfield, Fenton, Mid Rivers and Grants Trail. So we're doing it in order. Okay, so David, hold it up higher there. God blessed me with an amazing roommate. Man, that my son survived cancer 4 times. Whew, God gave me a second chance. Youth Crossing, friends and leaders. I reconciled with my friend. Financial stability. My grandkids love Kids Crossing. Come on. Survived brain cancer and a coma. Blessed with a wife and good health. My small group. Making the volleyball team. Come on. Congratulations. For reliable vehicles. Amazing opportunities. The job I love. Provision. Okay, we could keep going. You getting the point here? We could go on and on and on. And we barely got started. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to express gratitude boldly. We do this to God and we do this to each other. Paul in one of those letters says, every time I think of you, I thank God. I told some folks at a staff luncheon this week, I get what he's saying there. When he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. That I feel that way. I'm blessed to be a part of this church. I'm blessed to be a part of this thing with you guys. I'm so grateful. And sometimes the words that you say to me or to my family are like, it's just so spot on, perfectly timed, and it lands in my heart. I need that. And you do too. And get this, so does that imperfect gift sitting next to you. And so do your friends and your mentors and your teachers and your coaches and a neighbor, your parents. Come on, your parents. They didn't do a perfect job. But for some of you, maybe it's time to just reach out or it's time to say, hey, before we get together on Thursday, I just want you to know how grateful I am for you. While there's still time, express that gratitude. Here's what we're gonna do now. We're going to express gratitude and we're gonna do it boldly. And some of you are going to feel the urge, like right now, that screaming voice in your head is saying, run! You'll get your chance in just a second. And I want you to know, if this is too much, if this is too intense, if this is too intimidating, if this is too big a challenge, if this is too deep, if this is just too, you don't have to do it. We get it. We get it. But I would like to suggest that it might just be too good for you to not jump in. So here's what's going to happen. In just a second, you're gonna listen to a part of a song and it's gonna remind you that you are the beloved. And then at that point, at each of our sites, you're gonna then come to the front of that building, that room, and you're going to express gratitude to God in a bold, open way. You see, we've been doing it all weekend long. And we've got all of these cards up here and we've got letters and at some places I think it's butcher paper. We're just gonna be writing down boldly and openly, this is what I thank God for, and we're gonna leave it here. You see, our goal is to not have a table filled with leftovers at the end of the day. Our goal is to have rooms and tables that are filled with gratitude, because I think that's what we need. So that's really the first step. We're gonna wait a second, we're gonna take a breath, you're gonna muster your courage, we're gonna do this together like we did a couple of weeks ago. It's gonna be messy, it's gonna be great. And then you're gonna come up here and express gratitude. The second part of this, though, has to do with a blessing. Now, Henry Nouwen says that there in his book, The Life of the Beloved, he says there's a connection between blessing and understanding that you are the beloved. Henry was a Catholic priest, a professor at Harvard, and a noted author. And at some point in his career, he decides to step off of the fast track. He resigns from Harvard, and he moves to Toronto to be the pastor to care for a small community of adults with developmental disabilities. So he cares for them and the staff that cares for them. And that's what Henry does. That's what he did. But in his book, he talked about a moment when they were getting ready to gather for a little prayer service, and there's only about 30 of them that are going to be there. And one of the residents, a woman named Janet, comes up to him and says, Henry, I need a blessing. And he admits in the book, he said, I just kind of did the automatic. I didn't think about it. I just traced the sign of the cross on her and said, you are blessed. And she goes, no, that doesn't work. I need a real blessing. And he knew just by the way she was saying it, he's going to have to think about this. And so he said, okay, after the service, I would like to bless you. And so now in the back of his mind, he's going, I don't know what I'm going to do, but she's expecting something special. Well, she didn't leave him in doubt of what she was expecting, because at the end of the service, he says, now, Janet has asked for a special blessing. And as soon as he mentions her name, she gets up and comes running down, puts her face in the folds of his white robe, wraps her arms around him, and he realized this better be good. And so in that moment, I'm sure inspired by the Spirit of God, he says, Janet, you are the beloved daughter of God. He loves you, and I know you have highs and lows, and I know you're going through a tough time right now, but never forget that you are the beloved. God loves you, and the people of this place love you. And he could tell by the broad grin on her face, he could tell that that blessing had landed. And she goes back and she sits down. And as soon as she sits down, another woman stands up, Jane, and goes, I want a blessing too. And before he knew it, she had run forward and had planted her face in the folds of his robe. And so now he's blessing her. And you can see how this story goes, because then one and another. And he said the whole thing, like everyone was saying, wait, I want a blessing. What about me? And then at the end, there was a student, an assistant, a 24-year-old student that was there learning. And John says, what about me? Come on down, John. And he comes down and he says, when he's writing later, he said, this kid was a football player. He's a big guy. And I remember putting my hands on his shoulders and looking at John and saying, you are a beloved child of God. And whatever it is that you're facing now, whatever it is that you go through, I want you to remember, John, that you are loved with an everlasting love. And he said, this big kid, like tears just streaming down his face. And he looked at Henry and said, thank you, Henry. Thank you. I needed that so very much. So the question is, what about me? What about you? It doesn't matter how accomplished you are, how wise you are in the ways of Scripture, how experienced you are, how much you've done. It doesn't even matter how self-reliant you are. There is not a one of us within the sound of my voice who doesn't need to be reminded every now and then that you are the beloved, that you're the apple of his eye, that God is not finished with you, that God has something in store for you. So if I could, I would grab every one of you by the shoulder. Okay, I probably wouldn't grab you, but I would gently and with permission come to you and say, you're the beloved. I don't even know your story with God, but you're the apple of his eye. If I could, I'd do that with every person. I can't, but here's what I can do. Remember, we're gonna listen, and then we're gonna come forward, and then the pastors of this church would like to bless you. Now again, I know it's gonna be too much, too deep, too much for some people. But I think a bunch of us need to be reminded of some things, and the pastors here would like to bless you. And then don't be surprised if they like tell you to start blessing the people around you. It's time for us to thank each other and to thank God. I hope your week is full of that. But let's not wait, shall we? Let's do this together. And may it begin now.